Begin the current daf himself. The Zivamis daf dalut. Begin on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, we opened up the Masechta regarding the 15 women that are considered arayas, that they're exempt from the mitzvah of Yibim. And the Gemara asks, how do we know that? So the Gemara says, because it says the term Aleha by the Iser Erva of Isha Alachaisa regarding one's wife's sister. And it also says the same term Aleha by the mitzvah of Yibim, which comes to tell you, just like by the mitzvah of Yibim, it says Yavam Yavo Aleha, it says the term Aleha. That's the context of the mitzvah of Yibim. It says that same word Aleha by the Iser, by the Erva of Achais Isha, to tell you, just like over there, it was B'maka mitzvah of Yibim, here also when we're telling you you're not allowed to marry your wife's sister, is also in the context of Yibim. And although there should be a mitzvah of marrying the brother who died without any children's wife, it's telling you that no, it's telling you that even in Aleha, its Iser is to have the marriage of his wife's sister, which the Gemara then learned to all the other rais to say because they share the common characteristics. Here's Karas, here they're going to exempt, they'll be exempt from Yibum and all the other ones too, and so too for the halacha of Litzror to exempt all their tsaris also. Now, on that, the Gemara had asked in the bottom of Amud Beis of Daf Gimel, where it asked that, well, you're telling me that without Aleha, that means I would have assumed that then even if his brother who died without any children had married his wife's sister, that then you would assume that you could go ahead and do Yibum. It's just because it says Aleha by the Isra B'chais Isha that we see that, okay, that you're not allowed to do that even though there's a Makam and Mitzvah of Yibum. So the Gemara says, why would I have assumed that you're allowed to go ahead and marry your brother's wife, although let's say you're saying there's no problem of Eshes Ach because of the Mitzvah of Yibum, but she's his wife's sister or his daughter or any other one of the 15 Arais. Why would I have assumed that it would be Mutter that I needed Aleha as a drasha to say there's going to be Aser? So the Gemara said, obviously you would assume Aseh Deich Elois Aseh. And moreover, not only Aseh Deich Elois Aseh, but even Aseh Deich Elois Aseh Sheish Bekaris. Now what Aseh Deich Elois Aseh means, as we explained on the previous stuff, means to say that if you have a positive commandment, in this case, the mitzvah of Yibum, it's Deicha, it pushes aside, which means to say that it overrides the Lois Aseh, the negative prohibition, which in this case, you have the mitzvah of Yibum, you have the Lois Aseh, the negative prohibition of one of the 15 Arayis, let's say the case of his wife's sister, that although there is an Iser Erva, which is even Shesh Bekaris, that we would say that the mitzvah Aseh of Yibum overrides it and we would do it, and that's why we need Aleha to tell you that no, that you're not allowed to. It's telling you that even when there's Aleha, when there's a mitzvah of Yavama Yavai Aleha, still Isha Lachais Lissikach, you shouldn't take one of the 15 Arayis. Now the Gemara wanted to know, how would we know, what's the source for this, that a positive commandment pushed aside Aleha, saying this is the source of the Shas Sugya of a Siddich Aleha, where the Gemara will explore how would we know that, and therefore you need to have Aleha to say that, although generally you're right, we say a Siddich Aleha say, but in this case, if it's one of the 15 Arayas, the mitzvah say of Yibim will not override the Aleha say of one of the Arayas. So the Gemara says, the Chassib, what's the source for Aseidich Eloisa say, again, that we would need Aleha to tell you that in this case, we wouldn't push aside the Eloisa say of the Erva? Because it says a pasuk in Devarim, says, Loisil bas chatnis. One should not clothe himself with chatnis, which is a forbidden mixture of wool and linen. Now, right after that, the next pasuk says, Gedilim ta'asalach, you should make twisted fringes for you, which is a mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, therefore, we make a drasha of smuchin, which is when you have something close to another pasuk. We tell you that it's coming to allow kalayim by tzitzis, which this is the source of, obviously, that you see, that aseh is being doich alois aseh. Although there's a negative prohibition of wearing kalayim, a forbidden mixture of wool and linen, but since there's a positive commandment of wearing tzitzis, and if the only tzitzis you have, let's say, is kalayim, it's telling you that you're allowed to go ahead and do the positive commandment of mitzvah, gedilim taslach, even though it's a case of shatness, and therefore you have a source of aseh doich alois aseh. Now, the Gemara says, Vamer Belazar, says, Smuchim in Atar Minay, how do you know that we do such a thing? Doesn't it tell you anywhere in the Pasuk that you're allowed to wear Klayim when it's for the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's just we're making a drasha, an exposition of Smuchim, because the Pesukim are near each other. Come and tell you, why is the prohibition of Shatnes near the mitzvah of tzitzis? To tell you that, oh, in the place of mitzvah tzitzis, you can wear Shatnes. How do we know that we say such a thing? Shneim, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, where there the Pesukim are talking about the words of Torah, Devri Torah, because it's after the words in the Pasuk in Tehillim over there where it says, Nemonim kol pekudav, that all his commandments are faithful. So it says there, Smuchim la'ad la'olam. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that his words are forever joined together. Asuyim be'emes v'yasher, that the joining of the Pesukim are made in truth and uprightness, which what it's coming to say that there's a purpose for the nearness, and it's not just happenstance or just arbitrary. There's a reason why the words are near each other, and that's how we know that we make such drushas by having psukim near each other, which in this case would tell you that you could have klaim mitzitzis. Similarly, we find this idea that by having psukim near each other, that we're going to make a drush of smuchin, and in the context of the mitzvah of yibum, v'amrav sheshes amrav b'lozim shem b'lozim anazari. Says, minayin liyavama. How do you know regarding yavama? Now, yavama, again, is the widow of the brother who just died without any children. Shenafla lefnei mukeshchin. Let's say the only brother available for her, let's say her husband that died without any children only has one brother, and he is afflicted with boils. A really repulsive individual. Shein chayis menaisa, that we don't muzzle her. Now, what that means is that we don't close her mouth, so to speak, from saying her what she wants to say, because we're going to force her to live this despicable life tied to this man who's afflicted with boils. We don't do that. Rather, we force that brother to go ahead and do chalitza, to allow her to marry other people. Now, as Rashi explains, we just use the terminology of chesmen, of Muslim, because that's the vernacular that the pasuk uses, which we're going to see. That's the source of how we know that we don't, so to speak, muzzle her and force her to do yibum with this mukeshchen. Shenem, like it says there in the pasuk in Devar, says that loisachsim shor b'disha. You shouldn't muzzle an ox when he's threshing. That's the prohibition of not allowing the animal to eat as it's doing its work. Now, b'samachle, it says right after that in the pesukim, it says ki yeshu achim yachta, when brothers will dwell together, which that's the whole parasha of the mitzvah yibum. So from there we see that we don't muzzle the yavama. We don't force her to have to live this life tied to this mukeshchin. Rather, in such a case, we say loisachsim, don't muzzle her, and force him to go ahead and do chalitza. Now again, you see the same idea that we're making a drush of smuchim, and therefore we say the same idea by the pasuk of klayim to tzitzis, to tell you that why are they near each other? Then the context of the mitzvah say of tzitzis, it's teicha the leis say of klayim. Moreover, v'amar of Yosef says, afil l'man d'loy darish smuchim mi'amo. So you're going to say, okay, what's the source that we want to know why we need a leha? Because we would have assumed that siddicha leis say. It's from these two psukim near each other of leisil b'shatnes and gedilim taslach. Now, how do you know you do such a thing? So we explain, because you'd make a drash of a smuchim. So Rabbi Yosef clarifies, it says, even according to the opinion that holds that we don't generally make such a drash because psukim are near each other, we will make expositions of law. But even such that opinion, the Mishnah Torah darsh, in Sefer Devarim, which is called Mishnah Torah, they do make such drashes, and hence, according to everybody, we're going to have a source for Aseh Dechalaseh, because that smichas psukim of klayim for tzitzis is in Sefer Devarim as a Mishnah Torah. As Rabbi Yosef illustrates, says the Rabbi Huda, because Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that's being recorded that he doesn't make the exposition because you have a pasuk near each other that we're going to make halacha out of that. But Rabbi Mishnah Torah Darish, but in Sefer Devarim he does, as he explains. From where do we know that generally Rabbi Huda won't make a drasha and make a halachic exposition because you have psukim near each other? The time like learn the brisa. Benazai Omer, he says, Nemr, it says in the pasuk in Shemais, says, Mechashefa loisachaya. A sorceress, a woman that practices magic that's against the halacha, leisachai, you shouldn't keep her alive. Now, b'nemer, it says after that, the smuchim, says, kol sheichev in behemah mois yumas, whoever lays intimately, carnally with an animal, will surely die. Now, samchu inyan leisa, b'nazai says, the psukim are near each other, for what purpose? To tell you, mas sheichev in behemah biskila, just like one who lays intimately with an animal, gets stoned to death. And that is, as Rashi explains, we know by where it talks about a woman that lays intimately with an animal. It says in the pasuk of the demehim bam, their blood is in them. Now, as Rashi says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafnam Gimlam and Alpha explains that whenever it says the term demehim bam, it means, what does it mean their blood is in them? It means they're going to be stoned. Because as we learned from Oiv V'yadoini, different types of occultish type of practices that are forbidden by halacha, it says, Yirgamu Oisam, they will be stoned, demehim bam, the blood is in them. So you see that means stoning. And therefore we know that by the woman who lays with the animal, so that's the prohibition of laying with an animal, is with skila. So therefore, af mechashefa b'skila, that's why the pasuk of mechashefa le'sechayi was near the halacha of laying with an animal, to say that because of the smichas ha'besukim, to tell you that it also gets stoned. Now, on the Yehuda, so Yehuda argued in Benazir. Says, V'chimim nesha samchu in your law, you think because the pasuk happens to be near that pasuk, noiti zeh, so we're going to take out the mechashef, the one who does sorcery, l'skila. We're going to give them the most stringent punishment of being stoned to death just because the pasuk happens to be near each other. And this is the source that we see that he doesn't make a drasha of because the pasuk's near each other. Rather, he says, you want to know what is the source for the halacha of mechashefa getting skila? It's not because it just happens to be near the pasuk of laying with an animal intimately. Rather, because, as we just said, oivi yadayni are types of occultish, types of witchcraft type of practices. Bechla mechashem hayu, they were in the general category of mechashefa, which we said the pasuk says, lo yisachaya. Now, v'lama yatsu, so why is it explicitly mentioned on its own? It already mentioned it in the umbrella category of mechashefa. Why mention two specific cases of mechashefa of oivi yadayni? So, and that is what Rabbi Yehuda says, lahakish lehem v'lo melcha. It was coming to compare now all the other types of witchcraft, type of Isurim, to those two cases of Avi Yedaini that were being explicitly mentioned. And that's because that's one of the Yudgam Amidas, one of the types of laws in the Torah, which is, as it's mentioned in the Brayso of Rabbi Shmuel, which many say in Karbanis before they say Pesukah D'Zimra, that called Dava Shehoyi Bechlal. Anything that was in the general category, which like in this case, Avi Yedaini were in the general category of Mechashev Alei the Yatzim in Aklal Lelamed. Now, when it's being excluded, meaning it's being mentioned specifically, it's coming to teach something new. Now, lo lalamed al atzma yatzah is not coming to teach just regarding itself, elo lalamed al klal kula yatzah. Rather, it's coming to teach regarding all the general category that it's part of. And therefore, it's coming to tell you in this specific case as follows, ma oivi yedaini b'skilo, just like oivi yedaini, as we had explained from Rashi before, that we know that there it's going to be b'skilo because it says in the pasuk, yirgamo oisam, it says that they're going to be stoned, so it's coming to teach regarding the whole general category, any other types of witchcraft, types of Isurim, that it's also going to be Beskila, and that's how Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, Mechashev Lesachai is being stoned, but not because it just happens to be not next to another pasuk that also happens to be being stoned. So you see that he doesn't hold the smichas of having something near another one to make such a drasha regarding the other four books of the Torah. But Ube Mishnah, Tarmon Nal Nedarsh, but how do we know that in Sefer Devarim he actually does make such drashas? Did not like we learned in Mishnah in later on the Tzadik Zayinim and Aleph that says as follows: Neisi Adam Anus Savav. A person is allowed to marry the woman that his father violated. Umefut Savav is also allowed to marry the woman that his father seduced. Now the reason is because such a woman does not become forbidden to him because of his father's wife, because it's not his father's wife, as the pasuk says in Mikra Yitres, says Ervas Eisha Savicha. One is not allowed to uncover the nakedness of his father's wife. Now, the term wife always connotes that it's through Ishus, which means to say through Kedushin that he married her, which is not the case over here, where he had it out of wedlock. And therefore, one is allowed to marry his father's Anusa or the woman that his father seduced. Same thing going the other way. A man is allowed to marry Anusa's Benoi, the woman that his son that violated, Umafuta's Benoi, and the woman that his son seduced. And that is similar because that's not his daughter-in-law. Because a daughter-in-law is only if his son had married her, and in this case he didn't marry her, he just violated her. That's what the Tanakhama says. Yehuda, Easter Banus is of Umafuta Sab. Yehuda argues regarding the father. He says, one is not allowed to marry the woman that his father was ma'anis or that his father seduced. Now, Rav, this is my time to be Huda. What's the reason of Yehuda? Where do we find such a source in Halacha? It only says Isha Saviv. How would we know that even if it wasn't through marriage, that one cannot marry that woman? Like it says a pasuk in Devarim, says liyikach ish es eishes av. A man should not take his father's wife. Now again, as we said, that's just eishes through marriage. Now, but then the pasuk says v'lo yigal kanaf av, and he should not uncover, he should not reveal the corner of his father's garment, the robe of his father. Now the explanation of that is kanaf shara av v'lo yigal, that the garment that his father had seen, it should not be revealed. This is euphemistically explained in the sense of that any woman that he had relations to, that even if it was that he seduced, it's going to be forbidden. Now, how do we know that that's the context of what is coming to tell us, that even if it's a woman that he violated, that that's going to be included in this sir of Laigala Kanaf of? That's because mi lovei dekra, it's going back previously in the psukim again, this being the source that we see Rabbi Yehuda holds, that because they have psukim near each other, we make such a drasha, and hence we're going to compare the pasuk dechsib that it says beforehand, it says, v'nasen ha'ish ha'shoichiv ima lavihanara, that the man who slept with her, which in the context of that pasuk is talking about a woman that he violated. So he gives to the father of that girl, chamishim kasab, he has to pay for violating this girl 50 silver talents to her father. So that's regarding the parsha of Anusa, of violating a woman. And then it says after that, lo yikach ish begaymer. And then it says the pasuk that we're talking about of lo yigal kanaf aviv. So therefore you see that Rabbi Huda makes a drush of smich sapsukim in that parsha, which is in Mishnah Torah and Sefer Devarim. And therefore we have a source, as we had said, that although that there are some, let's say, that don't make drushes of smich sapsukim, but the pasuk b'lisil b'shatnes yigidilim taslach, which is in Sefer Devarim and Mishnah Torah, even Rabbi Huda, who usually doesn't, even he would agree, as we see over here, that that's why he says that anusas aviv and mafutas aviv is forbidden, because lo yigal kanaf aviv is learned out from the pasuk before that, which talks about the case of anusa. But then the Gemara asks Rabbanan, so what do Rabbanan do? Why do they say that it's permitted? Because it's not Eishas Aviv, but you have the drash of Smuchim, which everyone agrees to. So that the Gemara answers, Ihabes Samech Lei, had it literally been right after that Kedika Amr, then yes, of course, we would agree to Smichim. But Hashad Lei Samech Lei, but now it's not right after that. And the reason is because the Chsiv, it says there in between that, meaning you have the Pasuk beforehand and then the Pasuk afterwards, but in the beginning of that Pasuk, Lo Yigal Kanaf Aviv, it says, Lo yikach ish es eshes of bintayim. It says that a man should not take his father's wife in between that. Therefore, it doesn't mean in the context of going earlier back to the pasuk beforehand of anusa, of violating a woman. Rather, it's connected to eshes of, which means b'shemeres yav makasam adaber. The pasuk is talking about, the Gemara later on will explain that, tzadik zayin amud aleph, regarding when there's a woman that's waiting, anticipating the Yavam, which means say that after her husband died without any children, she can't just go ahead and marry anyone. That's the halacha of Shemeres Yavam. She's waiting for the Yavam. That is what the pasuk means when it says Leigal Knaf Aviv. He shouldn't reveal the Knaf that's ro'u, that's fit for his father, meaning his father's brother passed away, and therefore she's waiting for her father to consummate that relationship. That's what the pasuk is coming to say, that it's asr of lo yigal kanaf aviv, a continuation of eishes aviv, because this is through marriage, this is through that the father's relationship, either through his brother or the father himself, because he's waiting, that's the halacha of shemeres yavam. V'lav or lav b'shnei lavin, and according to Rabban, it's coming to say two prohibitions, either that of deidase, because it's not only that it's his aunt, but it's also going to be forbidden because it's shemeres yavam, it's that it's father's, it's the woman that's waiting for his father to relate to her, either through Yibum or Chalitza, which that's what the power of Zika does. And that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell you in Lo Yigal Kanaf Aviv. But it's not coming to teach you regarding the Pasuk beforehand, because since there's these words in between, it's not going back on Anusas Aviv, Mefutas Aviv, and therefore they say that the woman that his father had was Ma'anes or Mefata, that's going to be permitted. But be that as it may, we see over here that everybody would agree to the drasha that we said in the top of the Amid, that Leisil B'Shatnes and Gedilim Taslach, even those who generally don't make a drasha of having Pesukim near each other, but in Mishneh Torah would agree, as we see by Rabbi Yehuda, to the drasha, and therefore we have a source of a Siddur Chalaisek. Now the Gemara wonders, well, the Mishneh Torah my time of the drash, why is it? Now we just want to understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion before we continue in this discussion of a Siddur Chalaisek. We said that he would agree, because although generally he does not make the drush of having Pesukim near each other, but in Mishneh Torah he does. What's the difference? So the Gemara has two approaches. Either because it's obvious that when one looks at the Pesukim in Mishneh Torah, it seems clear, as the Gemara will illustrate each one individually, that it's there purposefully to tell you why it's near the other Pasuk and to make a halachic exposition out of that. And for Iba Yisem Mishum Nemufni, or because you'll see that there are many words that seem to be extra, and those extra come to allude to you to make a drasha, and that's why we're going to make a drasha of the pasuk near it to make a drasha smuchim. So either because it's obvious why is this pasuk near that other one, or because there's extra words and these terminologies, why are they there, to allude to the fact that we want to make the drasha of that word to the pasuk near it, and again, that would be the source for these types of halachas, like we said regarding the mitzvah of klayim by the mitzvah of tzitzis. As the Gemara explains, if you want, you could say the approach that we just said regarding that it's obvious. So let's say we'll take the case that we just explained of Rabbi Huda, who he said that regarding the Isra of Anusas Aviv and Mefutas Aviv. Where do we see over there clearly that we're coming to make a drasha of why do we have the parsha of when a woman is Ma'anis, a girl, next to the parsha of Lo Yigal Kanaf Aviv to say that it means Anusas Aviv, Mefutas Aviv? Because Dim Kain, if it was, let's say, like the Rabbanon, who said that it's coming to teach you the halacha of Shemeres Yavam, something regarding marriage. It says either his father's some type of quasi-wife, which is what the halacha of Shemeres Yavam, or because it's his father's brother's wife. Lichtei Be'Rachmanis, so the Torah should have written this word of Lo Yigala Knaf Aviv, Gabi Arayis, by the parasha of Arayis, if it's coming to just add on to different Isurim of his father's wife, which is again this relational type of Isurim, because it's his father's wife, so then it should have said over there. But it doesn't. It says it not in the parasha of Arayis. Obviously, it's not coming to tell us regarding Ishus, but rather it's coming to tell us that the pasuk beforehand is going to allude to us. What is it doing over here? That's where it's muchach. It's obvious that, oh, what's it told me beforehand? If a man is ma'anis, he violates a woman. Now it says legal kanaf aviv. What's it doing over here? It should be somewhere else. Obviously, to say that it's coming something related to that pasuk, which is toma being ma'anis. Oh, that even though it doesn't say explicit in the Torah, a man cannot even marry anusis of and or mefutas of. Or we could illustrate, like in this case, that because there's an extra term, because the imkain, if let's say it was talking about shemeris yavam, lichte brachmano liyikach ish es eshes aviv. It Torah should have just said a man is not allowed to take his father's wife. Now lo yigal kanaf aviv lomali. Why does it say these words of lo yigal kanaf aviv? Now, like Tosfos brings from the Rivan, he says because if not for this pasuk of lo yigal kanaf aviv, that we would know there is already an Isser of Yavama L'shuk, as the Gemara will later on explain that Tzadi Zayin and Aleph. We know there's a prohibition of Yavama, a woman anticipating the marriage of her Yavama, of her husband who just died without any children, her brother, that she's not allowed to marry anyone else but him. Moreover, we know that you're not allowed to marry your father's brother's wife because she's your aunt, and we don't just generally say that the Torah is coming to tack on more Isurim. If there's a way to make a drasha, we'd rather make a drasha and not say that we're just adding on more Yisroel. This woman is already forbidden to you. Obviously, as the Gemara continues, Amad Beis, Shema Minoh Lafnui. Obviously, it's extra. Why say the words Legal Kanaf Aviv? We know this woman is prohibited anyway. It must be coming to tell us a different type of a drasha that related to the pasuk beforehand, which is Samach to it, to say Anusas of the woman that his father violated. Again, as we know through Smuchim, and again, that's how we see Rabbi Yehuda in Mishnah Torah. Why does he make a drush of Smuchim if he generally doesn't? Either because it's obvious, why is it doing here? Or because his extra words, what's legal kanaf of? Again, that's Lafnuyi, will tell you that to make a drush of Smuchim. Now the Gemara brings that back over here. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who again, he doesn't make smuchim of those type of drushes throughout the rest of the Torah, but in Mishnah Torah he does, he'll say the same thing regarding tzitzis. You have the same reasons why over here by the parasha of tzitzis, you'll say that there's a heter of klayim by tzitzis, which again is our source of asei d'chaleisei. Because iba yisei mishum demuchach, either because it's obvious that why are they near each other, to obviously to make such a drasha, or v'ibay se mishum demufno, because there's something extra, there's words here that are not necessary seemingly, and therefore it's coming to allude to us to make a drasha of smuchin, as the Gemara explains. V'ibay se mishum demuchach, either you could say because it's obvious, because the imkain, lich devirach monagabe parashat tzitzis, what is it doing over here, in Sefer Dvarim, say near the parashat of tzitzis, where it says somewhere else in the Torah. So l'may hilchas akas v'hacha, so why does it say over here? Obviously, it's coming to say because we want it near the parsha of the Issa Klayim to say that, however, when it's Gedilim Tasalach, then Shatness is going to be permitted. Or you could say because there is something extra over here, and therefore that's telling us we should make this drasha. Because Mechtik said, let's see, it says a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, Uveged Klayim Shatness Loyala Lecha, a garment of forbidden mixture of wool and linen, you shouldn't place upon yourself. Now, if so, why do I need this pasuk at all in Sefer Dvarim? Shmami no lafnuya. Obviously, it's extra to say that, oh, we specifically put it here. It seems redundant. No, we want it here. It's extra because we want it near Gedilim Taslach to say that b'makom mitzvah of tzitzis, then you could go ahead and wear klayim. Now, Gemara asks on that, however. But hani minzach tzrichi. It seems to be that those words are necessary. They're not extra, and therefore it shouldn't be clear why we would make a drash of smuchin over here. Because the ikas rachmana lo yala lecha, had the Torah only written the pasuk in Vayikra, where it says that you shouldn't place the garment of forbidden mixture of woolen on you, have a mina kol derech halo as rachmana. I would have thought to say that any type of placing a garment of shanas on you is forbidden. Even those who, let's say, sell garments, who, when they're just placing on themselves, their intention is not to go ahead and enjoy the warmth of the garment. They're just showing off their wares. I would have thought that even that's forbidden because it just says, lo ya'alalacha, you can't put it on you. Therefore, it would seem necessary, kasachmon li silba shatnes, you're not allowed to wear shatnes. Now, dumi de levisha, that comes to equate it with wearing, which is isbehanah. When you're wearing a garment, not just putting it on you, that you're having pleasure from. Now, therefore, it seems it's not redundant. It's not extra. It's not mufna, because it's necessary to teach you. It's not just halal, but it has to be similar to levisha. And similarly, the other way. Because Rachman Ali Silbash had it only said that you're not allowed to wear, havimina davke levisha de nafesh hanayas, I would have thought then only wearing. And you put your sleeves in, you're putting it on, you're buttoning it. That is forbidden because that you're getting a lot of pleasure out of that. Aval halalai, but putting a garment over you, even if you're having pleasure, that wouldn't be forbidden because you're not wearing it. Kasrachman le'alalecha, that Torah says no, that even if you're just putting it on you, if you are getting hana, again, similar to levisha, that it would be forbidden. And therefore the Gemara's question is that regarding the approach that says that he makes a drush of smuchin, because it's mufne, it seems to be it's not mufne because you need the words loy silbash to teach you, as we just explained. But then the Gemara answers no, it's not a question. Because im kain, if the Torah was only coming to teach you that, then lichte brachmon loy silbash shatnes, so fine, it would be necessary to say the words loy silbash, because you have to say about wearing, because yala and levisha each comes to add a different component. But the words semer, pishtim alam ali, why do I need the words of wool and linen? If not, that it's coming to teach me regarding klayim, that, in other words, what's it coming to teach you? That you would say, what do you mean? It has to say semer, pishtim, wool and linen, because what forbidden mixture are you not allowed to wear? It's not just any fabrics, it's wool and linen. And that the Gemara says that wouldn't be necessary to say, as the Gemara illustrates, because mechti, let's see. Kosav, the pasuk says in Mayikro, Uveged kalayim shatnes lo yalalacha. As we said before, it says a garment of kalayim shatnes, you shouldn't place upon you of forbidden mixture. Now, B'tandaber Bishmal, the Brayser Bishmal teaches us that hoil v'nemru b'tayris tam begodim, since it says many times in the Torah, regarding different contexts, different isurim, it says the term garment. Now, it doesn't tell you what type of a garment. But apart, l'chaha kasa ba'achem mehen, but the Torah does specify one time, which specifically is in the parasha of Negoyim, of when the person has a nega, a type of affliction, it says there, tsemer upishtim. It says that it's wool and linen, as the pasuk says in Yikri Yud Gimel, bebeged tsemer or bebeged pishtim, if you have this nega, this tsaras, on a garment of wool or a garment of linen. Now, so it tells us what beged means. So af kol tsemer upishtim, so the brisa of the yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael teaches us, therefore that teaches us, whenever it says in the Torah the word beged, a garment, it means wool and linen. Now, if so, tzemer upishtim dekaz rachmano lamali, then why again do I need the term in that pasuk in Devarim, which is near the pasuk gedilim taslach, that it's wool and linen? But we know shatnes. You're right. You need the words in that pasuk of leisilba shatnes, as we said, because you wouldn't know from halal, and halal wouldn't know from levisha. So you need both of those. But the words of tzemer upishtim seem to be extra. And you're going to ask me, what do you mean? It's not extra. It's coming to tell us what forbidden mixture. It's only wool and linen. And that is what the Gemara is asking. No, you would know that, as Rabbi Shmuel had taught, from just because it calls it beged. And beged means tzemer and pishtim. So therefore, what do you need the word tzemer and pishtim? Obviously, it's mufnet to tell you the drasha of gedilim taslach. As the Gemara says, shema min elafnuya, obviously it's extra. But the Gemara asked, no, vakati yitzach, it's not true. You really still need to write the word semer pishtim over here in the context of where it says in the Devarim of leisilbash, by wearing, because although it says the term beged in the pasuk of Vayikra, by halal, by putting the garment over you, because I would have thought to say as follows, that semer and pishtim is salkadayta chamin, I would have thought to say, halal hi deloy nofesh hanaasa, you're right. I know already from the pasuk of Vayikra, because it says beged, garment, that it means semer pishtim. But that's in the context of where it says halal. Maybe only over there where you don't get so much pleasure. It's not like wearing it. You're just putting it over you. Maybe there the issur is only by a forbidden mixture of wool and linen. Avalavisha de nafesh aniyasa, but by wearing a garment where you get a lot of pleasure out of it, then kol trei min yasrachman, maybe there, I would think, because we don't know the understanding of klayim, then any two types of garments, two types of threads, whether it be cotton or anything else, would be forbidden. Therefore, maybe that's why the Torah had to write over here in Devarim, wool and linen, because I would not have known it from the term beged, because I would think maybe beged, which is only tzemer pishtim, would only apply by halah. But by over here, by levish, it would be any two types, and therefore it was necessary to write tzemer pishtim. And therefore, the Gemara is back to the question, it seems that it's not mufna, it's not extra. So how do you know the drasha to say mufna of smichim, of klayim, that's permitted by gedilim tasloch? But that the Gemara answers, finally, by saying no. Imkein lishtig kromine. It's not true. You still would not need the terms tzemer pishtim, because of a tasty shatnez, shatnez mahalah, you would learn out, it says the term shatnez by levisha in Devarim, it says the term shatnez by halah, by just putting the garment over you and say v'yikra, where there we know it means tzemer pishtim, because it used the term beged over there, and therefore I would learn by the gzeir shav of a shatnez, the same thing applies over here, even by levisha, even by wearing it. So why then does it say the word tzemer pishtim? Obviously it's mufna, it's extra. Now why do we have extra words? To tell you that we want to compare it to the pasuk next to it, which is gedilim taslach, which is tzitzis, that is tzitzis is permitted even by a forbidden mixture of tzemer and pishtim. So that's the source that we see over here, that what, but regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis, even according to Yehuda, who generally does not make a drasha of smuchin, but in Mishnah Torah he does, at least when it's muchach and when it's mufna, and we see that by tzitzis, as we just illustrated, has both muchach, it's obvious what is the parsha of tzitzis doing over here, it should be by the parsha of tzitzis, obviously to compare it, and it's also mufna, it's extra, because what are the words semer pishtim coming to teach me, if not to tell me that gedilim taslach, that tzitzis are permitted, even if it's made out of klein. But now the Gemara asks, b'tana deber bishmal, according to this brisa of the Yeshiva Rabbi Yishmael that we just learned, according to him, the source that klayim is permitted by tzitzis, which again is our source that asay, the positive commandment of tzitzis, is doicha dolois asay, the negative prohibition of klayim, which again brings us back why we need aleha to tell us why the iser ever is forbidden in the context of the mitzvah of yibam, because I would have thought asay doicha dolois asay. Now, how do we know, according to him, the klayim is permitted by tzitzis? Because we said there's the extra words of tzemer and pishtim, because we should have known it already from beged, and we would compare shatnez. And therefore, now that we know that it's close to the pasuk of a gedilim taslach, what's the extra words of tzemer and pishtim near that, as we explained, to tell you that it's going to be permitted. But the Gemara asks, time in the kaz rachmon and tzemer and pishtim, it sounds like that only because we have these extra words, tzemer and pishtim, that's why we're making a drash of smuchim to tell you that that's why it's permitted klayim by tzitzis. But halav hachi, if not for that, klayim betzitzis have mina das rachmanis. So it sounds like we would have assumed that klayim, a forbidden mixture of wool and linen, would be forbidden by tzitzis. On that, the Gemara asks, but why? We have a different seeming source that klayim is permitted by tzitzis, even without this drush of smuchim. Because v'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Bamidbar that says as follows, it says, v'asulem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdeim. They should make tzitzis, these twisted fringes, by the corner of their garments. That's the pasuk. Now, as we just explained, their opinion is kol begadim tzemer pishtim hay. Anytime it says in the Torah garment, it means wool and linen. Now, therefore, when in the context of tzitzis it says bigdehem, their garments, sounds like whether the garment is wool or whether the garment is linen. Now, v'amrachmana aveli tcheles. Now, the Torah tells us in the parasha of tzitzis that you should make one of the strands out of tcheles wool, which blue wool. Which sounds like that should be even for any beged, which again we said beged is either wool or even linen. Now, v'tcheilis amruhu, tcheilis is made out of wool, and you're tying together the woolen string of the tzitzis, which is tcheilis, onto the garment made out of linen, because that's one of those of beged, which that's the issa of klayim. And therefore, you seem to have a clear source that klayim is permitted by tzitzis, as the Gemara explains. Now, how do we know that tcheles, a strand that's with this blue wool, is going to be made out of wool? Because midesheish kisna, from the fact that sheish is linen, that it says in the parsha by the big day kahan, the garments of the kahan wear, it says in Shmuel Lamateh, it says michnasei bad sheish mazdar, the pants are bad, that they're twisted sheish. Now, what is bad sheish, which is this reference to the same thing? Bad is linen, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Yuma, because bad means something that grows, that comes up, bad bevad, singular, but up by itself, which that's how linen grows, that's how flax is. Now, from the fact that we're in that pasuk, sheish, is a reference to linen, so must be that tcheles amruhu, must be that tcheles is wool. And not just tcheles, but all the other dyes, all the other types of colors that they would use by the garments of the kahanim, which are argaman, purple wool, and telashoni, and red. Now, the proof for this is, how do you know by the fact that sheish is linen, that all the other types that they used over there by the kahanic garments are wool? Because the bigti kahuna were only from tzemer and pishtim, they were only from wool and linen. As it says, a pasuk in Sefer Yechezkel, regarding the avoid over there in Yom Kippurim, it says, bigdei pishtim yilbashu, they should wear only linen garments on Yom Kippur, v'lo yal aleim tzemer, and they shouldn't wear wool. So obviously you see that, regarding, however, the outer avoid is not inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when they only wore linen, that it would be wool with linen and no other types. Now, as Rashi explains, from the fact that the pasuk delineates by one of them, that it's sheish, that it's going to be made out of, as we explained, that sheish is bad, which bad is, grows bad devad by itself, which that's linen, obviously all the other types were made out of wool, because it's only specifying by this one that it's linen. And as we said, it's either made out of only wool and linen. Now, if so, you have tcheles, which that's what we said is by you put on the tzitzis, which as we proved already from the Bigdei Kahana that that's wool, you're putting that on Bigdeihem. Now, Bigdeihem is either wool or linen. That means that even by linen garment, you're going to be putting on tying together, which is the iser of klaim, a woolen string. And therefore, you seem to have a clear source of having klaim by tzitzis. Why do we need to have, as it seems from the Brayas of Yishmol, the extra words of tzemer pishtim to have a smicha sabsukim to the words of idilam tasalach? And that's how we know that klaim is owned by tzitzis. Forget about that. You know it from the fact that it says that you're going to put tcheles on bigdeihem. Tcheles is wool on bigdeihem, which is even linen. So that the Gemara answers itzuch. No, we needed the smicha sabsukim of tzemer and pishtim, which are mufnar extra, next to the words of gedilim taslach, because sol gedai dechamini kedir Rava. We would have assumed, like Rava made the following drasha, and that is, had we not had the words tzemer and pishtim. Now, Taisa explains, it's not necessarily that we would have said like Rava, because actually Rava is talking about after we have the words tzemer and pishtim, and now in the context of where the Gemara is at now, we would say that had we not had tzemer and pishtim, we would say like Rava, it just means say like the Diyuk or Rava. As the Gemara will explain itself as it continues, we would have said the way he learns up the wording, and hence we would have thought maybe that Klein would be forbidden, and that's why we need to have Tzemer and Pishtim, which we said is Mufna, to learn it from the Gedilim Taslach. As the Gemara explains, the Rava Rami, because Rava posed the following seeming contradiction. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says in the Pasuk, HaKonof, which this is the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Tesvav Lamed Ches, says in the parasha of tzitzis, which we say in the parasha of Krishma, that you should speak to the Bnei Yisrael and you should tell them v'asulhem tzitzis, they should make for themselves tzitzis, al kamfei v'gdeihem l'dayroi, some on the corners of their garments for their generations, v'nosnu al tzitzis, and that's the words our Gemara is quoting, hakanof, you should put on the tzitzis of the corner, you should put a psil tcheles, you should put also, not just the regular white strings, but also a string made out of tcheles. Now, the word hakanof sounds like you should make the tzitzis from min konof, from the same type that the corner, meaning that the garment itself is made out of, which means to say that if the talis, the garment is made out of, let's say, silk, so then you should make the tzitzis itself out of silk. That's what it sounds like. You should make tzitzis hakonof. It should be the same as the corner of the garment itself. However, uksiv tzemer pishtim, at the same time, the pasuk says, as we quoted this pasuk before, wool and linen, and then right next to that, continuing into the next pasuk, almost making like it's one pasuk, says gedilim tasalach, which sounds like that tzitzis should be made only from tzemer and pishtim, either from wool or linen. So how do we resolve this contradiction? Should the tzitzis be exactly as the corner of the garment, meaning if the garment's made out of cotton, should the tzitzis be made out of cotton? And if it's made out of silk, that the tzitzis made out of silk? Or, no, you could only make the gedilim taslach from tzemer pishtim, although those words tzemer pishtim is really from the pasuk of shatnez, but since they're connected to the words gedilim taslach, we would learn that the tzitzis should be only from wool and linen. So are they the same as the garment, or are they wool and linen? So Rava answers, he says, as follows. He says, tzemer pishtim, if you have tzitzis made out of wool and linen, that's a different halacha. That's poitrin bein b'minan, bein shalei b'minan. That will exempt, you can make gedilim taslach of tzemer pishtim for any type of garment. It could be cotton, it could be silk, whatever it's made out of. You can make them always from wool and linen. Now, the fact that it says somewhere else hakonov sharminim regarding other types of tzitzis, that b'minan patron, shalei b'minan ein patron. There only for its type it will exempt, but if it's not its type, it won't exempt. In other words, so if the garment's made out of cotton, then you can make min hakanav. Then that's what the pasuk is telling you, that tzitzis hakanav, then you can make the tzitzis out of cotton. If the garment's made out of silk, then you make tzitzis hakanav. But, however, it's only if it's the same as the kanav. However, you cannot put silk strings onto a cotton garment or cotton strings onto a silk garment. But Tzemer and Pishtim, you always could, and if it's not a contradiction, it depends for what, if it has to be the same, if it's not Tzemer and Pishtim, or if it's Tzemer and Pishtim, it could be in any other type. Now Rashi explains, therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, had it, the Torah not written Tzemer and Pishtim, we would have made the drasha of Hakanaf, which means to say it has to be the same as the garment itself, like Rava, where we would have said that you're right. It says Beget. Therefore, it's out of Tzemer and Pishtim. But I would have thought to say that for a garment of linen, then the tzitzis are linen. For a garment of wool, then you make the tzitzis of wool. And then you're going to dye a tcheles, because tcheles is only on wool. But that you wouldn't permit klayim, that's what the drush of the smuchim comes to tell you, that says Tzemer and Pishtim close to gedilim, that even klayim is going to be permitted. As the Gemara illustrates this further, the Gemara asks as a question, but Bahatana de Rishmal Leslie de Rava, wait a second, what are you telling me? That Rava makes a drush of Hakanaf min Kanaf. And therefore we would have thought to say, wait a second, you can't put Tzemer with Pishtim. If the garment's made out of linen, you can't wear tcheles. Tzemer is only going to be, the tcheles will only be if the garment's made out of Tzemer. But if it's made out of linen, then the tzitzis are only linen. And that's what we would have thought to say, the Gemara is saying, and that's why we need to have Tzemer Pishtim as extra words near Gedilim Taslach, to say that you could always have even that forbidden mixture of tcheles on the garment of Pishtim. The Gemara is asking, but the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold of Rava, because regarding a talus of other types, which Rava is saying, then you make the tzitzis out of that same type too, let's say silk or cotton, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel holds that no such tzitzis even exist. Because it says beged over there. And as we just mentioned before, the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel holds that whenever it says the term beged, it has to mean tzemer and pishtim. So how can you say that, oh, because the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel would hold like Rava, and that's why you need tzemer and pishtim, they don't hold like him. They can't say akanav min kanav, because you don't have silk tzitzis, you don't have cotton tzitzis, because the beged is only mechuyev if it's made out of either tzemer or pishtim. So I think my answer is no. Itzuch, still you would need tzemer and pishtim. Even though the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel would not make the drasha of min kanaf for other types of garments, but still you would need it, because we would have thought to say that regarding the talis, the garment of tzemer or pishtim, will make such a drasha ki diyuka de Rav, as we explained before, similar to the inferences that Rav had made, that it should still be min hakanaf. It should still be the same type, the tzitzis strings, as the garment itself, which is hakanaf min kanaf. And this is what the Torah, we would think, was telling us. When do you make tcheles? That's only, because as we said, tcheles has to be from wool, not out of linen. Then, if the garment is wool, then you'll make a type of tzitzis of wool. Upishtim lepishtim, and that you'll make linen for linen. And as the Gemara explained, if the garment is wool, then you'll make tzitzis strings out of wool and dye it tcheles. But that you would not allow tzitzis strings made out of wool for a garment of linen, neither would you allow tzitzis of linen for a garment of wool, because it has to be min kanav, different than Rava. Rava made a different type of a drasha. He was going after the words of Tzemer Pishtim, and he's saying halachically, Tzemer Pishtim would be for old types, and the other types of, let's say, cotton and silk would be only for their type itself. You're right, we're not making the exact same type of drasha, but similar in the sense of that it would be even for Tzemer and Pishtim, only Tzemer for Tzemer and Pishtim for Pishtim. Hence, I would not know that Klaim is mutter by tzitzis. For that reason, Kasar Rachmana, Tzemer and Pishtim, that's why the Torah wrote seemingly extra words of Tzemer and Pishtim to make the drasha of Smuchim to Gedilim Tasalach to say that Klaim is permitted by tzitzis, dafila Tzemer le Pishtim, u Pishtim le Tzemer. That tzitzis, when you have a garment, no matter of wool or linen, the tzitzis will be permitted similarly, whether wool or linen, even though that's a forbidden mixture of klaim, of shatnez. That's what telling you, that's what the drasha of Mufna comes to tell you, that they're extra words of Tzemer Pishtim. Again, as we explained, that Muchach, we know why it's tzitzis here, but even for the interpretation of that it's because of Mufna that we make drashas, even according to Rehuda and Mishnah Torah, Here we'll also have the element of mufna, because why the word's here? We already know that it's beged from shatnas, as we compared it to where it says halah in the Sefer Vayikra. And therefore we would know that it has to be tzemer pishtim, and therefore it's extra to tell us that you're going to make the drasha of Klein being mutter by tzitzis, because it's near the pasuk of gedilim taslach, and that's how the Gemara ends, or at least according to the opinion of the Braisa Bishmol, how we have a source for asaydech aloysa say that klein, although it's aloysa, is pushed away by the positive commandment of mitzvahs asay of tzitzis, and therefore we needed, which goes back to the context of arasugya of yavamis, you would need to have aleha by yavama of yavay aleha, that it's even forbidden by isha lachaysa, that you cannot marry the erva of your daughter or your wife's sister in the context of the mitzvah of yibum, which generally I would think to say that the asay of yibum would be deicha the leisei of erva, because it says aleha to tell you that even in such a context of yibum, you're not allowed to marry one of the chamisha esrei nashim, one of the 15 arayis in the context of the mitzvah of yibum.